My name is Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. If you're visiting, it's so good to have you here. I hope you experience the love of God this morning in some way, shape, or form. That is our heart for you this morning. Let's pray, and then we're going to get after it, all right? Jesus, there's no other name like yours. We just sung that. That is true. You give freedom and forgiveness and love and joy and hope and peace and all of these good things that our hearts desire and need. So we look to you for guidance and hope and trust, and would the words I speak be pleasing, and the stuff that isn't from you just kind of be forgotten away as well. In your name, amen. Okay, new series starting this morning. We're going into the book of Proverbs, and it's so good. Proverbs is so good. But I'm going to give you a recommendation to start the sermon. Recommendation right at the get-go. Jerry, you can put up the slide. Because sometimes, like, it's hard to kind of, like, read the Bible. Like, where do you start? Like, the habit, like, I get it. Like, it's confusing sometimes. So here's my recommendation for you. You can just listen to it in song. So this is what I've been doing, actually, like, prepping for this. Like, there's some stuff you can look on Spotify. There's one called, like, the Living Word Collective. There's another one called Project of Love. And it's just songs, like, of scripture, like, sung out. So it's pretty cool. Like, that genre is, like, lo-fi, so it's pretty, like, chill. Like, I don't know if there's, like, a K-pop version for Donald. I don't know if it's out there yet. But this is for you if you want to, like, put yourself in the way of scripture. You can just listen to it. Maybe you're doing whatever you're doing, okay? So here's the question as we begin. Where do you currently go most for advice in your life, like direction for your life decisions? Like, who or what is helping you become the person you are becoming right now? 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, how are you being shaped? What is shaping you? Big questions. Hope you're awake. God is wanting to speak to you this morning and shape you this morning as well. And so when most people hear the word Proverbs, it's usually, you kind of think of those short little sayings, like the fortune cookie wisdom type stuff, the short little things you throw up online, you know, onto Instagram, and like Proverbs totally contains so many like great one-liners, like it's excellent, but it's so much more than that, and we're going to get into that as we move through this series. Proverbs is a book about how to live well, learning to live well. It's a guide for kind of like navigating the real life issues, like relationship stuff, how to live well with all the decisions and challenges that you face. And this book asks, I think, one of the most important questions a person, like if you're a follower of Jesus, can ask, and that's like, how do you live faithfully in this world that God has created and made? Like, what does that look like? And why does that even matter, like for you and like the well-being of others? And I'll touch on this in a bit near the end, but I do want to make sure that we understand and read this book through sort of a Jesus-centered lens, and how that changes slightly how we read and apply all of these Proverbs that we're going to look at. So, at the heart of Proverbs is like a simple and critical truth. And it's just this: wisdom begins with trusting God. So we'll read Proverbs 1:1-7, just the start here. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So throughout the book, like two paths are kind of going to be set up for the reader. It's very like matrixy, like red pill, blue pill type of stuff. Like one path is wisdom, which begins, and you've probably heard the term before, with the fear of the Lord that leads towards life and peace and flourishing. And like, quick sort of aside, like the fear of the Lord does not mean being terrified of God and being in a constant state of, oh no, he is out to get me if I mess up. Or you might have thought or be thinking and have heard maybe this, like why would I want to follow God whose default is to kind of like overload me with terror? Like, what in the world? Like, fair question and thought. And honestly, I think I've had seasons of living under a bit of like that weight. And that can be heavy and like spiritually like suffocating. Like, I've seen that type of religious abuse and that type of control and teaching presented as well. And so what's a better definition, you might ask? Like Jesus tells us, right? Like your follower Jesus, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So a better definition when you hear that phrase, the fear of the Lord, is just this, okay? You can maybe phrase it, picture it like this. It's just living with a deep sense of awe and reverence and humility before God. So it kind of just recognizes God is God and we are not. It's trusting in his wisdom more than our own and kind of living our lives around his ways instead of ours. So the other path offered, we have the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs, is foolishness or folly, which begins and it says in there, it says it's just rejecting God's wisdom, and that will lead towards like brokenness and destruction and trouble and all types of hurt. And so every day we have these decisions. They're usually just ordinary, mundane decisions, and we choose which path we're going to follow. We have choice. God does give us free will. I often wonder, like, what would be like the daily recap of choices we make? Like ones that honor God and ones, you know, that don't. Like, would we want like smartwatches or our phones to give us that recap? I don't know. Probably not, right? Probably not. It's often said, like when you start to read the book of Proverbs, like you start to identify with the fool a little bit. I know I've been there. There's your meme for the day. One meme a day keeps the, I don't know, something away. But when you read through the book of Proverbs, like it's not really meant to for you to sit in like conviction and guilt and shame. But it does help you sort of point you towards good decision making. So positionally, if you say, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm a follower of Jesus, we're actually making these positions from a place of victory. Like, we've won already over folly. So I want you kind of to remember and sit in that as we read through Proverbs together. And we'll chat more about that. Now, the book of Proverbs is heavily connected to the King Solomon from the Bible. When Solomon became king, God offered him, like, could you imagine this? God offered him anything he desired, anything. And so God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and Solomon said this in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. He says, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And in 2 Chronicles, he says essentially the same thing. So a question for you. If God offered you anything you desired, what would you ask for? And so Solomon, rather than asking for like wealth or like power, like military power, long life, some sort of superpower of some sort, Solomon asks for wisdom. And God honors that request. And Solomon sort of becomes known as like this in the ancient world as like the go-to guy for wisdom. So he wrote thousands of proverbs and songs. He wrote most of the proverbs, not all of them. So that's important to note there. As well, we have to make sure, like, as you start to read and we go through Proverbs, that's not primarily concerned with helping us become smarter and more knowledgeable, okay? So the Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah. And that has to do with the idea of using a skill, all right? So it refers to a practical ability. Like, the same word was used to describe craftsmen who built the tabernacle. So in other words, wisdom is not merely knowing what is true. Wisdom is knowing how to live it out and putting it into practice. So someone might have like, right, they have their master's degree, university degree, years of knowledge, high IQ, yet still make foolish decisions. Like, we all know people, right? We all know people who are like highly educated, and yet for some reason they're still sabotaging like their relationships and finances and reputation. So knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. I have a friend in high school. He got all of the A pluses, okay? Like super knowledgeable. He was like ChatGPT before ChatGPT. And he, like, you could ask him anything and he knew it. Like, he knew it. He was incredibly smart right out of high school. He decided to buy a luxury sports car. He bought a Mustang. He had no money. He as well decided to date three girls at the same time. I'm sure you can imagine how that turned out. Probably could have made a reality TV show out of this guy's life and situation, but he had lots of knowledge, really smart guy, probably lacking in the wisdom department. And we can all probably apply our own personal stories to that. Now, we're all kind of aware at this point, right? We all carry an incredible amount of information in our pockets, right? Within seconds, ChatGPT, Gemini, Grok, whatever the thing is, the AI, you can answer almost any question. We know more facts or have more knowledge than any previous generation in history. And so why is anxiety still increasing? Why is loneliness increasing? Why is there still division and fighting everywhere? Why is there still war? Why are marriages still failing? Why is there still hunger? Why are basic human needs still not being met around Chilliwack, around the world? We have all of this knowledge, and we have the capacity to produce. We have the capacity to produce food for everyone in the world, like pretty easily, to be honest. So why isn't everything fixed and at peace if we know everything and have access to all this knowledge? It's because information alone has not taught us how to live well or solve the human heart problem, especially according to God's design. So Proverbs is going to remind us that wisdom is not just about having more data. Data? How do you say it in Canada? Data? Data is Star Trek. Okay, whatever. It's not just about... Okay, squirrel. Okay, wisdom is more about learning to walk the right way, the right path with God. And I see like an incredible amount of value and application for us today in this crossroads. So, Proverbs, you're gonna keep coming. It's gonna keep saying it over and over and again, the central theme. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the willingness to receive God's definition of good and evil versus our own. And Proverbs will challenge you. It'll challenge us. This book makes it clear that there is a reality of God outside of ourselves, and that wisdom does not originate from within ourselves. So there is truth that does not depend on how we're feeling or the winds of culture that go here and there. Again, it's the fear of the Lord. It's just that humble acknowledgement that God's wisdom is greater than our own. And just that, maybe just like acknowledging that this morning might be a good step in your faith journey. Just saying, Jesus, God, help me to acknowledge or trust your ways more than my own. We as a church, Crossroads as a church, we do so well to have that at the top of our prayer list. Now, a little bit more about the structure of the book. The opening nine chapters, we get the father-son conversation, okay? We get the father-son doing their thing. Depending on your translation, there might be like gender-inclusive language. You might read child. Jerry, you can put up the next one there. There's a bunch of different definitions of translations. The main point behind it is like the wisdom applies to everyone, however it is translated or handled, okay? But it's father-son, and the father is urging the son to pursue wisdom, reject foolishness, walk in the fear of the Lord. Parents, here is your advice right here, right at the start of Proverbs. And again, he warns that small choices have significant consequences. In Proverbs 4:18-19, it says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. I think Proverbs gets at this as well. That character, like Christ-like character, is formed with one small decision at a time. And it's not through like single dramatic moments, but rather through like thousands of small little faithful choices that we're presented with. Like no one wakes up one morning like physically healthy and ripped because you decided, I'm going to eat a carrot today and do P90X at Trevor Linden Fitness and then go back to like eating McDonald's every day. No one wakes up like financially like secure because you made that one lucky investment in crypto and spent $5 less on Facebook Marketplace, but you continue on with reckless spending. Strong marriages are not built through a single conversation or that one perfect date or that extravagant proposal that my brother-in-law just pulled off. So good. Or, you know, that bouquet of roses that you have to give to get out of these extravagant acts. I'm so glad Ashley is the gift of my life. She loves carnations instead of roses. So to get out of the doghouse, it's a little bit cheaper for me than maybe for you. But the point is this, like healthy spiritual lives are formed through like these small faithful decisions and acts, like choosing the path of wisdom over folly, over and over again. And I think it's a lot of just unseen decisions and choices in our everyday lives. So alongside the father's speech, we move through Proverbs, and wisdom is introduced as Lady Wisdom. She stands in the streets calling out to anyone who will listen. And this is not a prescriptive verse telling you to do soapbox preaching. I will tell you that right now. Proverbs 1:20 says this, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. This is cool. This is important, all right? And this is a fantastic image of how wisdom, how God is not hidden away for scholars or experts or the religious elite or your pastor using like five commentaries to come up with the right interpretation. Wisdom is available for all, for ordinary people just willing to listen and apply. And the picture is that God is continually inviting us into his way of life. I think Jerry has mentioned this several times over the years, and I will as well. Christianity does not need like a secret codex to solve or for you to hear the good news. It is easily accessible to all people in all stages of life and in all seasons. It's for you right now. God is not hiding away. And Lady Wisdom here gives us a little picture into understanding how our God does not turn his back on us. He's always available and yearning to sort of have that relationship. He is front-facing, wanting to be close with us. He desires to be with us. And so at the same time, Proverbs presents another voice, and that's Lady Folly. She also calls out to people, right? She calls out, but she offers something different. Shortcuts and self-indulgence and the immediate gratification option, the temptations that look right and good, but in the end lead to spiritual death. I appreciate Proverbs because it reads and feels like it was written for today. Like it's so fantastic. Like it really transcends time and culture. Like every day our attention is being pulled in different directions, right? Like we are so pulled by so many different voices. Like your social media algorithm stuff, outrage news cycle trying to rile us up, advertisers and companies promising happiness if we just consume this or buy this. Like there are so many countless voices telling us to pursue what feels good right now with the promise of life and happiness. And Proverbs reminds us that every voice is leading us somewhere, right? So every choice, all these voices is leading your soul somewhere. So the question is whether we're listening to wisdom or folly. I think it's a good chance for us to answer that question this morning for you. Crossroads, will we listen to the voice of Lady Wisdom or Folly? Which one is winning out right now? What are the strongest voices competing for your attention right now? Media, culture, work, certain relationships, your own mind. which voice tends to sound most like Lady Wisdom, which voice tends to sound most like Lady Folly. Let's pray together that we have that strength to choose Lady Wisdom. Now, the middle section of Proverbs, here's the spot where there's just all these little one-liners, just tons of great one-liners, like on all sorts of topics, like on money and work and leadership and generosity, integrity, anger, parenting. Again, like, this book is so applicable. Culture changes, technology changes, but the human heart, like, our human hearts still wrestle with the same temptations and fears and struggles that existed 3,000 years ago. It annoys me a little bit when people say the Bible is irrelevant and outdated. I would plead with you, like, just read it and, like, pay attention, like, be open. Like, I promise you, it isn't. But the Bible speaks to our daily struggles and problems and gives us some how-tos and points us ultimately to, like, this saving life in relationship with Jesus Christ. It is so helpful. I think I need to note as well this morning that as we do read Proverbs, it's important to remember that these are not, like, guarantees or formulas, all right? Like, they kind of describe how life will generally work. Like, a wise person will often experience a good outcome. A foolish person is often going to experience some painful consequences. Yet we all know, like, there's exceptions, right? We know there's exceptions. We know good people suffer. We just went through the book of Job, and we found that out in the most intense ways. Many of us have kind of, like, lived this out in painful ways. And sometimes foolish people prosper and get things that they don't deserve. And you're just like, what is going on here? Like, Proverbs speaks to a general, I think, like, it's just like a general pattern of how life will go and how to navigate it. I think about all of our youth who have their L's and their N's right now, and they're learning how to drive. Think of it like this, like, following, like, the rules of the road dramatically increases your chances of arriving at home safely, right? Like, I think so, and not getting into an accident or getting a ticket. I chose to follow Lady Folly a few months ago, and a lovely police officer pulled me over, and I experienced the consequence of following Lady Folly. I cannot tell you how many kilometers over I was of the speed limit. I might be in big trouble. At the same time, right, like, I made a mistake. Following the rules does not guarantee that another driver will not make a mistake and crash into you. Like, I've had that happen to me at the Sumas border, and some lady just blew a stop sign, crashed into me, and hence I have horrible back problems. It's horrible, right? In the same way, wisdom is not a formula for controlling life, okay? It's there to help God, you follow God and navigate life faithfully. It's for character building as well. So as Proverbs concludes, we're introduced to a few other characters. You're going to meet Agar, who's just a dude, like, he's a man who openly acknowledges his need for God. And he's just like, God, I need your wisdom. Like, be like Agar. He's a great guy. You'll read about him in a little bit. He just knows he can't do it on his own. He knows he needs God. And then you're going to meet King Lemuel, who shares wisdom passed down from his mother. And then finally, we encounter the famous, like, portrait of the woman of noble character, the wise woman. And she's kind of not celebrated because she's some extraordinary form of woman, like an unreachable status person like Beyonce or Taylor Swift. She just takes God's wisdom and applies it to ordinary life, like her work, her family, her finances, her community. And so, like, I'm excited for Proverbs. This is such a good summary, you guys. It's so good. So as we close this morning, another important note, like, ultimately, like, Proverbs points itself to Jesus, okay? In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So Jesus perfectly lived out this call from Proverbs, like, the wise life. He trusted the Father completely. He lived out justice and humility and love and truthfulness. Proverbs, yeah, like we're gonna try and attempt to live out some of the stuff, but Jesus is the one who lived it out perfectly in flesh and blood. And the best news as a follower of Jesus is to remember that we're making these choices from, again, a place of victory, rather than trying to earn our good standing or place before God, because we made the right choice. I think it's important to remember we respond, because we know the whole story. We know the whole story, but we're responding out of a place of worship and gratitude and grace, rather than just trying to drum up more willpower, right, to make better moral choices to appease this God. Like, Jesus has made the way already, and our response is just, right, like it's a response of worship, knowing that we have victory over Lady Folly already. So, a couple questions I'm just going to leave you with this morning that you can think on, your spirit can work through as well. First one is this. Where do you need help trusting Jesus' way of wisdom more than your own instincts this week? Maybe coming months. Does something kind of come up that's top of mind? Is there a Holy Spirit nudge right now with something? Like His way, like a reminder, His way gives you real life. Where do you need help? And the second one is this. If wisdom is kind of like learned over time with all these little small choices, what is one decision you want to make differently starting today or this week? Is there a small choice? Like a decision to listen to wisdom instead of folly that you can act on? Because remember, like wisdom has this action piece. And so Crossroads, may God give us like that courage and discernment to follow the right path this week. Let's pray. God, you're so gracious to us. You love us despite all of the poor decisions we often make. We all make these selfish, foolish decisions at times. But I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, your gift of forgiveness, and what the cross means for us as followers of Jesus. As we make decisions and attempt to follow you the best way that we can, Jesus, please give us the strength and discernment to make the right ones. We want to honor you. We want to worship you. And we want people to know your love in the way that we act and follow you. We love you, God. Amen.